Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Welcome to Hey, Jeff, a podcast about Survivor and Big Brother and whatever else we're talking about. Danielle, hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. You wanted to start the pod immediately and talk about things. So
because we were talking about our days. It's Saturday afternoon as we're recording and filming this. And I asked Brett what he was up to, and you mentioned you played some video games.
Yeah. The new Zelda game is out, and it came out Friday morning at midnight a.m. or slash Thursday night, right? It was midnight Eastern time, 9 p.m. Pacific time, and all day Thursday. I was like, I'm ready to go. I'm staying up 9:01 p.m. I'm going to play this video game. And then like 9 o'clock came around, and I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah. but you were heavily anticipating this new Zelda game.
I sure was. Yeah, I mean, the first Zelda game is from like 20 years ago. The Zelda Breath of the Wild, which came out maybe five, 6 years ago. One of the best games ever made. Just a lovely, amazing experience. Walking around.
Well, that's what people say. They say it's relaxing.
Down trees. Yeah, it is. You just walk around.
It's a relaxing video game.
There's some light PA. Yeah, I mean, you got to fight some goblins. You got to fight some.
Oh, you do fight.
You know,
okay.
Other things.
Well, that's
you
what I wanted fight. To ask about. Yeah.
Yeah, you do fight. There's some various things, but you know, for the most part, it's you're walking around a field, and there's some light piano. You know, someone's just tickling the ivories, and you have to go. You know, you have to go cook. You have to take some apples and some peppers and throw them in a little pot. Ride your little horse around. Solve some puzzles. What else are you going to do?
It's like Cottagecore, the video game. Maddie in the chat says, "Hey Julie, pivoting
Cottagecore."
Hey Julie, pivoting into video game reviews. I mean, I was just curious because I've been seeing some discourse about this new Zelda game, and people are saying, "Yeah, that it's like." It's so relaxing. I never knew anything about Zelda. And so when Brett said that he played it, I was like, OMG, I need to know all the details. Is it like going to just the Lake District and building a fire, a crackling fire?
Oh, you definitely build a fire. You have to have a piece of flint, which will get us into Survivor. You have to have a piece of flint and a piece of wood and a metal sword, and you smash them all together, and then you get a fire. And then you sit by the fire, and it's like, would you like to sit by the fire until tomorrow morning? And you say, yes. Because monsters come out at night, and I don't want to fight monsters right now. I want to walk around during the daytime when there's no monsters.
Wow. And are the monsters like actually scary? Or are they kind of like kawaii cute?
Yeah, they're like, I mean, none of them are scary. It's a game for children, but like,
okay.
There's a range where like the most common kind of weakest ones look like these little kind of fat piggy guys.
And,
and then there's like the big, there's big dragons, big giant troll things, you know, so.
Okay, well, this is just what I was curious about. They made and these weren't ads that I was seeing. I was seeing like authentic videos and tweets and whatever, where it was like a millennial woman getting into her gorgeous bed
that could
with
be
her
you.
Switch.
Yeah, that exactly. could be you. I will say this, a female friend who's basically our age, if anything, a little bit older than us, a year
love
or two
that.
Older
love
than
that.
Us. Her
love that.
Husband,
so rare these days.
Her husband, yeah. Also my friend, you know, he's a gamer boy. He's a gamer girl like everybody else. And he said, hey, why don't you play this game? I think you would like, she's never played a video game in her life. This is a couple years ago. And she turned into that woman who was like sitting in her luscious
like
bed.
Out of Smith's egg.
No, she never played a video game in her life. And she's playing Zelda. And she's like, this is the most rewarding experience I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
It's that good. It's so good.
Okay. Listen, I am very intrigued. Very intrigued. But I don't think I can buy all the stuff necessary now in order to make this an enjoyable experience.
You only like have to you buy need two to, things.
You need a Switch.
Yeah. And then
and
the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that like $700?
I don't know about Canadian, but America, I think it's under $500.
Yeah, that's still a lot. I sure, just bought, yeah,
but I've had a Switch for a number of years. It's free now.
Yeah, it's an investment at this point. All right,
why don't you get a Switch for your child? Your child would love to play Switch eventually.
She probably will eventually. You know, she's still like in the phase where you can give her anything and it's a toy. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. So sometimes I just give her a couple bowls. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Oh, she loves rocks, loves wood chips, you know.
Oh, wow. Put them in your mouth.
So we don't, that's why I can't really be justifying spending $700 Canadian at this point.
Sure.
Maybe later.
But okay. Gotta talk about Survivor.
Yeah, I was just going to say, speaking of crackling fires, let's talk about Survivor.
I want to start with a bit of Survivor news not related to the episode that we just saw.
Okay. Yeah.
A bit of news came out this week. Survivor, starting next season, all episodes, 90 minutes or more.
Wait, that's every season forever?
I mean, they can decide they don't want to do that in a few years, but the release made it seem like going forward, Survivor is a 90-minute show.
Yeah, I'm not okay with that.
Bad news for the casuals.
That's bad. Bad news. It's called Big Brother, not Big Survivor. I don't want to watch 90-minute episodes of this. I'm sorry.
But weren't we talking this last week? Like, you kind of don't know what happens over the course of a 2-3-day cycle on Survivor. 20 minutes, half of the episode is devoted to one or two challenges, plus a tribal council, at least. Now it's we get stretch. To see more people hanging around at camp. Getting skin infections and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I guarantee there's nothing. They've trimmed the fat, right? I don't need that fat back in the episode.
They trimmed the fat off of the CBS schedule, other than Matlock starring Kathy Bates.
Which I sent the trailer to Brett. And let me tell you, watching that trailer, I'm thinking to myself, this looks pretty good, actually. All the comments on the trailer were like, wow, finally something I will be tuning into. And so many Kathy Bates fans. I did not realize Kathy Bates is such a draw. I mean, I know she's a fantastic actress.
She's a star.
That was never in question. But I didn't realize she has a fan base to rival Jeremy Renner's. Like, very passionate people.
Yeah.
Batesheads.
Longer. Yeah. 3-4 times the length of the career. And probably she's going to keep on trucking.
I mean, she's been hit after hit.
Renner's done. Separate conversation, but Renner has done.
Renner's app is one of my favorite things. Did I send you like the Renner app?
I think you might have.
You know, he has his own app.
There's also this show that I think. So Renner's like really into like home renovations and
renovations.
Like, Yeah. If he weren't an action star, he would have been a property brother, right? And so they shot this show called Renovations, and I think it's on like Disney Plus or whatever, where he like gives people a new stove or whatever and paints their walls. And then he got in this horrible accident and like is never gonna like act or do anything again.
Wait, is that true? I actually did not watch. I thought he was on the mend. I thought he was.
It means on like, the mend, but he's fucked up. He had like every bone in his body broken. His like eyeball popped out or something like that. Don't hold me to any of these specifics. This is not a fact. This is not a fact-based podcast. It's a vibes-based podcast.
Oh my gosh, this is vibes only. We do no research. We do not like everything we talk about is like, you know that thing I maybe sent you once. Yeah. That's our entire frame of reference. Well, oh my gosh, you know, I really hope he gets better. I think he's a great actor. Matt May says he only gets his news from Hey Julie, which is like very questionable.
I know. And then like someone in the Discord this week is like, I don't watch Big Brother or Survivor. I just listen to this podcast. I'm like, what? What enjoyment do you get out of this?
That's very on brand. We love you, the type of people we are. Yeah.
Casual Hey Julie fans.
Very, the most casual to the nth degree. An extreme casual, you might say. So
it's just nice to have voices talking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I'll say this. If you are, you're not going to understand this, but if you live in like a non-English speaking country or whatever, and you don't understand Hey Julie because you don't understand English, put it on. Just put it on the background.
Yeah.
Can't hurt.
Yeah. It cannot hurt.
Everyone around the world should just have it on playing. It's like a crackling fire. It's like a little bit of just like some light piano music in the background. It's ASMR. It's much like The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, we just
like,
need some tinkly piano.
This new Zelda game, though, you have to do like structural engineering in this game. And it's like, even today, this morning, I'm like, come on, how am I gonna do this?
Is this a song from Zelda?
Yeah, I think so.
It's hard to do. It's very fast, but I think that's from Zelda. And is it true that the person with the little feather in the cap, that's not Zelda?
Zelda? The person you see with the sword is not Zelda.
Okay. Clear this up for
Zelda
me right now.
Zelda is a supporting character in the show. My gosh.
So it's not the legend of that little guy.
This is
going to
be a great pod for the person who loves Big Brother but does not watch Survivor or Big Brother. Zelda is the princess that must be saved every...
Oh, of course.
Every season, every game, every show. Okay. Link is the main character who you play as. Not Zelda. And every game starts with Zelda being like, everything's cool in the kingdom. Oh no! She gets kidnapped. She falls through a giant pit as this one that starts. She's like, oh, I'm doing a science project. She fucking falls into a pit. She falls into a pit or whatever, and like got a magic hand or something like that. I don't know.
I want to shout out this comment from Scarl. The ending of Succession, ATN goes under because up-and-coming news outlet, Hey Julie, corners the market on news. Love that. Listen, we do have about as much integrity as a news organization as CNN. Boom!
Oh, yeah, I would say more.
Yeah, more.
We would not allow fascists on these airwaves, on these podwaves.
No, we have not and we will not.
CNN did it as recently as like 3 days ago.
Okay, well, can I just say a couple of things about Survivor?
Absolutely. It is time.
Okay, so because this episode at the very beginning had like all my problems that I talked about last episode about Survivor within like a very succinct like 2 minute chunk. It was like two scenes. So they come back from tribal and Carolyn's pissed off. And they're finally getting a little fiery. Like she's, you know, she's upset that they voted out Franny. Yam Yam's like, this is the way we had to do it. Sorry, we couldn't tell you, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, finally, we're getting somewhere, right? Finally, there's some spice. There's some anger. Like, oh, no.
Oh, what happened? Oh, no. Danielle dropped out. All right. There's some spice. There's some anger. Now everyone's just watching me talk for a little bit. This is going to be fun. Everyone can see a whole on the YouTube. Can see a whole lot more of my office than usually sees. Here's Danielle. Here we go. How you doing?
I'm sorry. I was just moving my mouse just to move it and I accidentally refreshed my page and got kicked out. Okay, anyway. So there's finally some passion on Survivor. Yeah. The next scene, cut to them the next day, sitting in the freaking water, having a kumbaya circle where they're all doing yoga and freaking Jamie is like, let's all say something we're grateful about. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this totally undercuts any potential drama, spice, excitement. Like, I don't want, and then they cut to a talking head of Jamie going, you know, at the end of the day, we just all love and value each other as a group. And I'm like, I don't want that. There's still 100 of you left in this game. I want you to be pissed off at each other, ripping each other's hair off, like throwing each other into a giant pit. That was my issue right there.
Listen, I agree with you. Is it a bad thing? Is it a bad thing now that lots of people now are millennials? Carolyn, the old woman, millennial.
Like us.
Literally the same age as me. Is it bad that now that our generation is kind of like in our 30s, some people might even be in their 40s, you know, bulk of like working age, like we're kind of like, have a lot of society, you know, not putting too many boomers on Survivor anymore. Is it a bad thing that we're like some of the most mentally healthy, mentally aware, empathetic people out there?
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
Because what was going to happen is, you know, we're going to get older and all we're going to want to watch are like fight compilations on YouTube.
And that's, it's going to be like now.
In my, yeah, exactly. It's going to be very much that meme where we're like, in my day, this is what was on reality shows. And it's like, sure, grandma, let's get you to bed. Like, in my day, people would actually fight and, personally insult each other and, actually care about who wins and not be kumbaya. And in my day, that actually was very entertaining. And now it's changing.
I think we got some spiciness towards the end, though, of the episode. Tribal council was a little bit. I think, you know,
between Carolyn and Jeff, like, well, I guess. Yeah.
Carolyn is like turning into a phoenix and she didn't even die. She's like rebirthing herself every 12 hours here as like a more devious and crazed person. But she's also like, she cuts through the bullshit. She has no ability to suffer fools. She cannot even hide on her face. If you have a conversation with her and she does not agree with whatever you're saying or something else, she's going to roll her eyes. She's going to make faces. She's going to like hold her forehead. And like, she can't do it. So I get what you're saying. Overall, yeah, we're at a point in the game where everyone needs to be lobbing personal attacks at each other because they're so sick of the way they eat and breathe and snore and shit. And they're getting away with my $1 million.
Yeah.
But I do still, I mean, I still think we have some compelling folks left.
I think they're great, but that's the problem. I think they're great people. That's the issue.
But this is just kind of where society is. This is where society is going. Like, you can't work. You can't work somewhere and just like have people screaming at you all the time and be like, "Johnson, you fucking idiot! Why didn't you fax the numbers to whatever?" Like, that just doesn't happen in life anymore. I'm sure. I'm sure some people deal with that. I'm sure it's awful, but like, we're just kind of not like that as a society anymore, which generally is a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a bad thing on television, though. But this, Jeff has remarked about this for the last few seasons. Every season for the last little bit, there have been a couple personal skirmishes and stuff and things that elevated to like true disgust between one contestant and another. But for the most part, it's like Final Five. And Jeff's like, y'all just love each other, don't you? Y'all just want to win and stuff. And like, you're all excited for the other people to win and stuff. And I don't know, Danielle. I mean, go watch some other show. Go watch Love Island.
I know. Well, I just crave conflict. I saw this tweet about someone who was on the picket line, the WGA picket line. And it was someone saying like, oh, I saw this guy who was way too well-dressed to be a writer on the line. So I asked him like, are you a writer? And he said, no, I'm an agent, but I love conflict. So I support you guys. And I was like, yes, that's what I would be. I just love the drama. So I support it.
We have Joy in the chat says we need Sandra eating sugar and blaming Michaela. Yes. Scarl also says, I wish they put Carolyn on a season of Big Brother. She would give us cracked feeds. We
support. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Nonstop. Absolutely. That is. Because she's almost giving us the Big Brother angle with editing. Because you can't really edit around her. Like, no. You have to just embrace the Carolyn.
I do fear for her sobriety, though, if she goes on Big Brother.
They can't give them alcohol if she's on Big Brother.
I want Carolyn to be healthy and happy and stuff. Same. And like, she in a way is so, she's like above everyone else, but like also has no boundaries in a way. No, like she is unable to like perform like societal norms in a bit of a way. She has no poker face or whatever. I do fear that 90 days in the Big Brother house would like destroy her mind. I just want her. I just want her to be happy. You know.
Did you feel we're taking a hard right here? Did you feel that they gave Heidi a little bit of a like maybe she could win edit this episode?
I think that of the non purple tribe left, we have six people left, right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. No, there's like eight people.
Oh my Lord, that's crazy. That's wild.
Carson. Carolyn, Yam Yam.
No, there's six people left. There's Carolyn, Harry Potter, Heidi, Jamie, Lauren, and Jam Jam. I think all three purple people have a chance to win. And I think Heidi is the only person outside of those three that have a chance to win. I don't think Jamie or Lauren can win. They've basically done nothing this entire game other than just like hang out and smile. I think Heidi, especially if she uses her remaining idol in a surprising way, in a strategic way, I think there could be a bit of, and I'm not just saying this because she's on the Bready All-Stars. I feel like there is something, there's like a freight train behind Heidi in a way. I'm not saying it's like going to run through the game, but we are absolutely setting up for one of these, I don't even know what the name of it, Tika tribes people to win. Like, even though Carolyn hasn't won anything, like everyone just, you know, people love her. People understand her story. Her surviving to the end without winning anything, I don't think is a detriment.
We just got a little piece of the Heidi story. And it wasn't even that much. And it wasn't even that dramatic. Usually when we get the story, it's like something really, really intense and serious. Hers, she's got a great story. But it's not. But it was just enough to make you go, oh, I didn't think about her much before. But now that I know her story, I'd be okay with her winning. Like, that was, to me, the context of her package.
I think we need to talk about a little fella from Puerto Rico, Jam Jam.
Jam Jam.
Jam Jam can win the game. Jam Jam,
I wouldn't mind it.
Absolutely put the tape together today, this week, to win the game. I saw the thumbnail for the episode on YouTube TV, and I just saw the cages in the water. And I'm like, here we go. This competition is sick. It is disgusting. It is borderline torture. I'm sure if you didn't pay people $1 million to do this and you just did it to people in a country you're at war with, they would send you to Nuremberg or wherever.
Yeah. No, this is not good stuff right here. Hang this up for is war like crimes. Shocking.
I love this challenge so I know. much.
And it's upsetting, but we love it.
That Jam Jam won it is like amazing. I felt a bit like Jam Jam because I watched Survivor and every single competition, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't lift the boulder of the thing. I can't run back and forth. I can't run back and forth now. I certainly can't run back and forth after having not eaten for 24 days. I would literally faint.
Yeah.
And I look at this challenge and I go, this is the challenge that I can win. All I have to do is stay there. And they're not going to let me drown and die. I just have to stay there and just not, just be okay if I start drowning.
Right.
If I can mentally get myself there, which maybe I can, maybe I can't. I think I have a chance to do that. And Jam Jam, I feel like maybe made the same mental calculation of like, I'm not going to beat Danny in, you know, a lifting and running and balancing thing.
Yeah.
You know, Franny obviously was really good. She's not there anymore. I'm not going to beat Carson, who has 3D printed youth. Every single puzzle that has ever been on Survivor.
And he has youth on his side.
You know, Lauren's no slouch in the competitions. We've seen her win an immunity challenge. Jamie's like a yogi. She's not, I wouldn't say she's the best, but she's not terrible either. Jam Jam has basically been like last place in every physical challenge so far. But this one is not physical. It's just don't drown and just like, become one with the sea. And if you can just be like, I'm just going to be here until I die. And I will just trust that the production will not let me die. Even if I start dying, you can win it. And so I love that he won it. I thought it was amazing. And I thought it was like such an amazing story for him. He starts crying. Everyone in my family is really physical and really fit. I'm the only one who's not. And like, you even see it on him. You like, obviously everyone's starving. You see he's like lost a bunch of weight. You see he's like carrying himself more.
That's what
more,
I wanted to say.
More like, he's carrying himself with more confidence and stuff. Like even with his glasses and stuff, he's just, I love it. He's becoming who he's always meant to be.
Yeah. He is a skinny legend now, is what I was going to say. Like when he got up out of the water, because that's what I really noticed. Of course, everyone loses weight on Survivor. And people who go in like a regular body weight or thin, I'd say, they end up looking emaciated. But if you go in and you're like a little fluffy, then you just lose a lot of weight and look pretty good.
It's the only reason why I should sign up for Survivor.
Which is what Jam Jam's looking. He looked good before. I'm not saying that.
He is very confident in his body and how he presents himself.
Absolutely.
And he was from day one.
It's undeniable that he has lost a ton of weight. It is, if anyone, remember that show Biggest Loser?
Talk about true despicable reality TV.
Can you imagine? That show was on for like 15 seasons, wasn't it?
What was a feel-good thing? It was pretty cheap. It was just like, fly these people to fucking LA and make them get on a treadmill.
Yeah, exactly. For like 6 hours a day. Make them eat like 500 calories and just constantly be on the treadmill. And like one of the trainers is mean and one of them is nice. And that's the show. And then they have to get on a huge scale every week.
Isn't there like a bad thing going on with that show? Like it wrecked, like ruined everybody's lives? Who was on it?
It was like, if you only lost 7 pounds in a week, you were letting your team down. It was like insane. It was crazy.
I thought there was more of like a post-show thing where like every single person who was on it, like even if they had like a massive success, they either like gained a ton of weight back or they started having health problems or like just everyone's lives fell apart. I don't know. Again, not a research based show. Something just I heard. A headline memories. I might have read 2 years ago on something. Maybe one eye was open. Maybe one eye was closed. I don't know.
Making memories, like very hazy thoughts. Can't be confirmed or denied, really. It's just whatever's coming in. And let me tell you all right now, the second I say anything on this show, I don't remember it 20 minutes later. So don't even try. Don't even try to call me out like a year from now on something I said, because I won't remember I said it.
Prove it. Prove it.
And then it's gone. Yeah, exactly.
Prove we said it. Prove we recorded it. You want us to Google it? No.
Too much work. Controversial take. Don't you think Google is so bad these days?
I don't know. I don't Google it. I don't Google anything.
It's like 20 ads for something not related to what
I'm
talking
about. Yeah,
and it's
a bunch of places that have like written just SEO farm nonsense that are like have the same keywords as your question.
Exactly. And now I'm really realizing we really are old, Brett, because this episode is turning into like, you know what's bad now and was better in my day?
Google! I used to be feeling lucky and now I'm feeling grumpy!
It's true! It's true! Oh my god. While they're talking about Survivor, since I don't watch it, Matt May says, I'm just trying to read the book titles in Dani's background and wondering how many she's actually read. You can read away. And this is a great thing for people who are only listening and aren't watching live on YouTube. We show our backgrounds and I have a lot of books in my background and I'm not even going to name off any of the titles of the books because that's what I say to you listeners. Why don't you tune in and watch and then you can see the books that I may or may not have read.
Not going to read them.
Survivor. What else?
I back to Jam Jam a little bit. We can talk about tribal.
Okay, back to Jam Jam.
I love when they walk into tribal and like you have the moment where the jury's like, oh, this person won the immunity necklace. And Jam Jam walks in and he's like, kind of like pointing at it and doing a little bit of a face and like kind of doing a little like flaunty.
He's
walk.
Very lovable.
Yeah. And it's just like, hey, you guys who I was friends with a couple of days ago and voted off, like, look what I did. Like,
yeah.
You want to know it's who's winning the game? Yam. Jam. Slam the jam button twice. Jam.
Yeah. He's fab. They're very likable. No one try to tell me that I think that they're not likable or that I hate the season because they're bad. That's the opposite. I merely tolerate the season because they're not bad. Because they're not bad. We did also have a fun moment during Tribal. I mentioned it earlier, which is that like Jeff's doing the round table, chatting everyone through. And then he brings up, I forget what the jumping off point was for this actually, but like Caroline answers him very tersely. And then he's like, what, now you're mad at me? And she's like, yeah.
Well, it's kind of started with, it was like Lauren and it was either Lauren or Jamie. It was one of the weak links. We're like, talking about how the game is playing or whatever. And they're using, if it was Jamie, it was, you know, she's using her kind of vaguely optimistic, positive language to describe stuff. Jamie's and Caroline's like, I don't agree with what you're talking about. Like,
yeah.
And she's kind of just getting annoyed and rolling her eyes and making faces and, you know, like doing funny things with her face. And Jeff says, he says something like, are you annoyed right now? And Caroline says, absolutely. And she's pissed. And he goes, are you mad at me now? And she says, yeah. It was great.
Jeff doesn't know how to handle it. He loves it. You can tell. He loves it.
How did you feel about a couple interesting things happened at Tribal beyond that, strategically, in the sort of numbers part of the game? Caroline plays her idol for Carson. And I was like, yeah. I was like, these four are absolutely voting for Carson. It just feels so locked in. It's the only smart thing to do. And she really milks it out too. He goes, you know, there's anyone's going to play their idol. Now's the time. Okay. And right as he's saying, okay, she doesn't say it. She really thinks about it. Not to mention, she really thinks about what her vote's going to be, too. She's like in there for like 5 minutes.
Counting things. Yeah, I'm not sure.
So she uses it, which is great. And I'm like standing up and cheering. And this is like Batman. Lighting the Batman torch on the Brooklyn Bridge. Batman's back, baby. He's going to stop the bomb. And I'm like, yes, this is great. And it happens. And then I still think it's a good move either way. Lauren and freaking Jamie voted against Heidi. They didn't even need to use the idol on Carson. Danny would have gone out either way.
Yeah. But she told him she would use it on him.
She told it to him. She didn't tell it to anybody else. Nobody else knew. Jam Jam didn't even know.
Yeah. But I think Carolyn is pretty, like, good, true to her word.
No, yeah, but I just, what I guess what I'm saying is, like, she plays the idol for Carson. I think it's a good move either way. And then on top of it, sorry, we all know I'm not a big fan of how Jamie is playing this game strategically from literal episode one. She just continues to make me want to pull my hair out with the things she says, the moves she makes, etc. Like, she's getting to the end of the game here, and I'm about to have to eat my words in 2 weeks when she freaking wins or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's like the most like bad luck, good luck game with Jamie. Like, what, didn't it make more sense for them to vote with Danny? Obviously, they would have lost because Danny would have gone out as a result of the idol being played. But like, they absolutely screwed themselves in terms of not getting Carson out. Granted, they weren't going to control that vote anyways. And now they have an enemy in Heidi, the only person left they can align themselves with. Obviously, Heidi's alone, she might work with them anyways, but they take a giant shot at Heidi, who might not work with them now anyways. So I just thought it was such a, as usual from our friend Jamie, like, just total miscalculation of the moment.
Jamie's just sort of like riding. I don't know. She's just sort of like doing her friendship circles. Yeah, she's eating her worms. Speaking of like legacies from Survivor, so I saw like a post. So Danny gets voted out.
Oh my
lord! And I saw some press about it, and it was like I talked to Danny about like the competitions, Carolyn and Jam Jam, and his fart. Like, and I was like, that is what everyone's gonna want to talk to him about, is him farting. That is his legacy.
I think that was a question in the Discord. I'll get to that. Tullinator says, Survivor spoilers. Was I the only one who thought Danny's exit bit was major cringe? It went on way too long for me.
Yeah. People agreed. Spicy America said it was so bad. Like Nathan for you levels of cringe. I could not bring myself to rewatch that part.
Was it cringy? Absolutely. I actually got a bit of enjoyment out of it because I think Jeff is smart. Jeff is the god. Jeff is the true puppet master.
Yeah.
Jeff knew how stupid and bad it was. And Jeff was like, let's just sit here. Let's just sit here and yeah, watch you exactly. make an ass out of yourself in your biggest moment on national television. And I'm not gonna snuff out your torch. I'm gonna let you sit here and do the thing that you think is so funny. Your boys at the firehouse think is so funny. And everyone else thinks it's fucking stupid. You just sit here and hoist on your own petard.
You know what? Sometimes that's the best scene partner to have. Hoist on your own Picard. What? Star Trek. I watched this episode of Star Trek the other day.
Yeah.
If you can believe it, Star Trek's. And I thought Star Trek was supposed to be like in this ideal... Trek. It's like it's kind of like Zelda. It's like a relaxing. Usually, it's a very relaxing show to watch before bed.
Nothing
it's like
happens.
Nothing happens. Not the car just goes like, oh,
I gotta go into this conference room and talk to some people. It's like a business drama. Or he like he's just in conference rooms, being like, what should like we disappears. Do to these people?
But there's like a fun bar where people get drinks that always have dry ice in them.
And Whoopi Goldberg is the bartender.
Whoopi Goldberg tends bar. But I watched this episode and I thought it was nice because it's like the best of humanity, right? Because it's like we've eradicated racism, sexism, whatever else. Like all of it has been, we're all past that in Star Trek. But then I watched this episode where these aliens kidnap the dark-haired curly girl's mom.
Deanna's
mom, and strip her naked and have all these like fantasies about her.
She's a Betazoid.
Of course. What does that mean?
She's not human. I think Deanna is half human, half Betazoid. I believe her mom is full Betazoid. I might be wrong. Or maybe her mom is
Betazoid.
Maybe the mom is a human and the father is a Betazoid. There are humanoid. Well, first of all, every creature is humanoid in Star Trek universe. They are like an empathic. They can read minds a little bit. And stuff.
Yeah.
Her mom isn't. Okay, I'm not saying her mom deserved it, but I have seen a bunch of episodes. Is the mom? The mom is like a bit of like a lush. She's a bit of like she's always like flirting around always, and stuff, and like she's like making she's embarrassing like, Deanna.
Yeah, she's like, Deanna, why aren't you getting married?
Yeah, that's
why
what
can't
she
you
is.
Marry a Captain Horndog is what she's always saying.
Yeah, and then like there's one episode I saw where she's like flirting with some like random alien guy. She's like, oh, look at you. You're a strapping young man. She's just, you know, she's like.
Yeah, well, that's what she ends up having to do because they take her clothes off.
I don't support
and he's
this.
Like, I know. And he's like, all women are good for is with their clothes off. And I'm like, what? This is not why I watch Star Trek, to be reminded of like misogynistic behavior. Well,
that's what Star Trek is. The humans have all solved racism. They live in a utopian society on Earth. There's no racism. There's no sexism. There's no economy. Everything. Well, it's a utopian economy. Everything is free. They have free energy. Everything. What Star Trek does is shine a mirror on 20th and 21st century issues by having the aliens have those issues. Aliens are being racist to each other. Aliens are being sexist to each other. And Picard has got to solve it.
In a conference room.
In a conference room with non-violent ways.
No, the way they solve it is they make that ship go really fast.
They're you gotta hit warp.
We gotta get there faster.
Warp 5, warp 6, warp 7, just get hit it. Yeah.
All right, I watched some other stuff too that I wanted to talk about.
And Danny, RIP.
Yes.
RIP Danny. I thought he could have won, but obviously R.I.P. he's Danny.
I thought you were talking about me. Okay, yeah.
Okay, whatever. Us talking about Survivor for 40 minutes. Though I guess the first 15 minutes of this podcast was talking about Zelda. Or whatever. So us only doing 25 minutes of Survivor makes sense. Okay, Danny, where are we going? What are we talking about?
Okay, so first of all, I just wanted to get a hashtag Danny was right. Brett went out to a bar or something and someone asked him about Vanderpump Rules.
Hashtag Brett was right. I said on this podcast last week, we were talking about Vanderpump Rules, and I said, I dismissed Vanderpump Rules as I do. I'm dismissive of it. And I also said, by the way, I probably believe within the next week or two, I'm going to be at some sort of social occasion, social gathering, and I'm going to drop this Vanderpump knowledge, and everyone's going to be like, yeah, Brett knows what he's talking about. He's connected. He's hip. He knows the hottest things. Last night,
the culture.
My friend was having a bunch of people over to watch the world champion Los Angeles Lakers defeat the Golden State Warriors. And a bunch of people were there all watching the game, laughing, having a few beverages. And Vanderpump came up and I was like, yeah, like what did Tom do with, you know, sleeping with what's her face? And everyone was like, yeah, Brett gets it. Brett's a cool guy who's got his fucking finger on the pulse. That's it.
Why didn't you say the exact line? I can't believe Tom Sandoval had Raquel over in the jacuzzi while Ariana was away.
I literally did not. I don't even remember Raquel's name. The only name I remember is Tom because there's two of them. And the only quote, I did not say that quote, but I did say shortly after because the conversation moved to the hills. The only quote I know from that area of reality TV is the following quote, and I say it all the time. I can't believe all this is happening while Lauren's away.
Well, it's been eclipsed by, I can't believe Tom Sandoval had Raquel in the jacuzzi while Raquel was away. Okay, so just wanted to say, like, thank you, Danny, for educating
Brett.
Thank
you, Danny, for educating me, but this is absolutely a Brett was right situation. You did not make that prediction.
Okay, well, maybe we should take this issue to another little show I just discovered called Couples Therapy.
Ooh, I've been watching
have you seen
this? I've been watching the clips on TikTok. I have not watched the full. I don't think I could sit and watch a full thing, but I've been watching like little clips.
It's so claustrophobic watching the whole thing because it's just like it's different couples throughout the episode.
Yeah,
but it's just so like in the room that they're in. I'm like, first of all, where did she get this office space in Brooklyn? She must be doing really well.
Yeah.
Because it's a big, high-ceilinged room, and yet it feels very tight because there's just so many issues in the room. So if anyone doesn't know, Couples Therapy is a show on Showtime. And I guess this is its third season, even though I'd never heard of it before this. And these couples come in, and they talk to I don't want to get this wrong. I think she's a psychoanalyst.
Whatever, who cares?
Because it's different. No, it's not whatever.
I know it's different. I know it's different, but I don't know. I don't care who this person is.
Yeah, but she's a psychoanalyst and she specializes in couples therapy. And so these people who've been together for years, most of them have been together for at least, you know, 5 years, let's say. They come in and they have their issues. And some of these people come in and you're like, yeah, your issue is you're married to a sociopath. Like, and you've been married to him for 20 years. Why are you just noticing this now? But then, honestly, the couple that I thought were crazy, which is, I don't even know how to describe this people. They've been together for 20 years, even though they're both hot. Like, they both look young and hot.
Not me.
And they don't have kids. And he's a sex fiend. And she's like, I can't just have sex 3 times a day anymore. You know, I'm like 42 or whatever, however old she is. the longer you watch, at first you're like, these two need to divorce. Like, there's no repairing this relationship. The longer you watch, you're like, actually, these two are perfect for each other. It's like a very interesting reveal. As you get to know these people and know their issues more, it's very interesting to watch. And I think it's a great show to watch when you're in a relationship that isn't having a lot of issues, because even your little issues, you're like, well, at least we're not as bad as these people.
I've seen a bunch of clips of it. I don't know if I could like live in this world for 30 minutes or an hour, however long the episodes are.
It's very, very dark, very tense.
It's just like, I'm sure they are editing some sort of arc into it for dramatic reasons, because this is a produced television show and there needs to be some sort of, you know, flow of story. It's a bit of a helpless watch to me, because you're like watching it and you're like, this woman is fucking crazy, or this man is fucking crazy. What do they not understand about don't call your husband 20 times a day about nonsense? And that clip, I was like, dump this woman, throw this woman over a waterfall. It's not always the way, it's the man. Like, some of these people, it is so abundantly clear what they are doing wrong, and they just refuse to acknowledge it. They refuse to even engage with it. And I find that very frustrating for their partner, for me as the viewer at home. It stresses me out a little bit. It's brilliant. I love that people are loving it. I love that it exists. Why in the world? Why in the fucking galaxy would you ever, ever, ever be like, honey, we need to go to therapy together, couples therapy. We need to fix the most important thing in our relationship, which is the relationship, which is you and me. Let's do the one where we do it on TV, though.
Yeah, I know. I was like, they have to, it must be where they're getting the therapy for free. And
we're getting paid to do it, maybe.
But I don't know. People put a lot of stuff out there that, like, you couldn't torture out of me. And they put it out for free on the internet without the stamp of, like, Showtime approval. So people do that. I don't know why they do it.
I have been to couples therapy in my life. Mm-hmm. It is a difficult, extremely emotional experience.
Vulnerable. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it was something that I was completely bought in on doing and wanted to do, wanted to get better. I was not going as a fucking prisoner. I was not going with my arms crossed, nothing's wrong with me. Absolutely, things are wrong with me. Like, I can't imagine wanting to be on Big Brother and like taking a shit and the fucking production team just sees you taking a shit. And even if it doesn't go in the live feeds or whatever, it's like, I don't want to take a shit and have a camera there looking at me or picking my nose. Well, you know, just like sleeping in bed or doing, you know. I don't know why anyone would ever go on TV.
Yeah.
In any sort of way other than I desperately want to be on Jeopardy. I desperately want to be on Jeopardy. I try out for Jeopardy every chance I get. I think I'm brilliant at Jeopardy. I'm going to be on Jeopardy. Put me on Jeopardy. You know, what is the War of 1812? What is the Merry Wives of Windsor? You know, who is Harry Truman?
Merry Wives of Windsor. I'll tell you what, the Merry Wives are not on couples therapy. They're not married.
Ken comes by, hey, Brett. I hear you have a podcast. Sure do. It's stupid as hell. Great. We'll talk to the next person from wherever, Kalamazoo. That's it.
I know.
And to be like, talk about your sex life, to talk about like how you're fucking idiot, horrible to your wife all the time, and like you don't even want to change.
It's tough. And
that's bad for your future prospects too if you get divorced. Oh, let me see. Brett Rader. Oh, let me Google him. Oh, here's a bunch of videos of him in couples therapy talking about what an asshole he is to his wife.
like the lowest point of his life. Great. Now I can watch this over and over and over again.
Drinks at 10 at whatever bar.
Yeah. I don't know why people go. I don't know why, but let me say thank you to them because it was very entertaining. And maybe you made the ultimate sacrifice. Maybe people can learn from it. I love therapy. I highly recommend it to anyone. Yeah, the problem is, like Matt May said in the chat, it's expensive. That's why I'm saying maybe they got it for free, and that's why they're doing it on Showtime for all of us to see.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure it's. I mean, this is good for the therapist, though.
Oh, but then they show her in the full episodes. It's like a Sopranos-esque thing. She has her own therapist.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's like, I can't deal with these people. Like, I got to talk to my therapist.
Well, become a librarian or something like that. I could do without that,
to be honest.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Become a librarian or something.
It's
not my fault that you hate your job.
Very chic Brooklyn therapist. Oh,
absolutely. I would love to have her tell me what is wrong with me.
And she's got a great dog who curls up on a little pillow while they're telling their sob stories. It's great. Okay, another show I watched.
Yes.
Also very dark. Silo on Apple TV. Mm. I watched the first two episodes because that's all that were out last week. Let me just say, all these shows that are set in the future when we all have to live in a pod and we're like, oh, do we live in the pod because the pod is great? Or are they keeping us out of the world? And the world is actually great. They tell us that it's toxic out there, but is it really?
Yeah, who's telling us? The king of the pod? Maybe he doesn't have our best interest. Maybe he only cares about king shit, king pod shit.
You're the king of the pod.
Oh my God.
But I cannot take it for an entire season. I can't. I know that would ruin the show for some people, but I'm like, by the end of episode two, just tell me, is it actually toxic outside or not? It's like, I can't with the like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You're going to have to wait and see.
I've been watching nothing, Danielle. It is height, as your avatar says, it is height of NBA and NHL playoffs right now. And like literally every night, if I'm not playing Zelda, I am like watching people hit the hockey, hit the basketball. And finally, we're getting to the end of the playoffs, and like, there's only going to be one game on every night, or there's no basketball on tonight. So I am not watching anything other than the same four commercials over and over again. Burger King, chicken.
Okay, I've not seen this one.
Well, he just says chicken in the Burger King song.
Okay, great. Okay, that's one.
What do we got? We got a handful of different progressive ones. We got Flow.
Progressive. Flow. Yeah.
We got the lizard. We got
from Gecko.
Yeah.
What's Gecko?
Yeah, the lizard. Okay. We got my friend, the AT&T girl. We got.
Oh my gosh, she's still making that money. Good for her. Guess the writer strike's not going to affect her, honey. Let me tell you.
She's doing great. We got comedic stylings of Cecily Strong selling Verizon cell phones. If you were to rank all the comedic duos of all time, you got Abbott and Costello, you and me, and you have Cecily Strong and Paul Giamatti selling Verizon cell phones.
Paul Giamatti's
in a ton of them during the fall. Now it's her and Seth Meyers, and it's like, What are we doing here? These aren't even funny. Like, what are we doing?
No, they're not funny. And they're never going to be funny. But they need money, I guess, to keep up with the Joneses. You know, New York rent ain't cheap.
What else we got? I don't know. It's just insurance and cell phones. And my brain is so absolutely fried from seeing the same seven commercials over and over again. Oh, there's one for Wingstop. There's one for Sonic. They have a bunch of different flavors of soda pop you can get. My brain is melting and I haven't watched anything. I haven't watched any shows. I haven't watched any movies. Sorry to report that.
Well, I have one last thing for us to touch on. And we've already shared a bit about it in each other's DMs. But this is called a show that's been on for 6 years. It's called The Good Doctor.
I don't want to get into The Good Doctor thing.
We don't have to get into The Good Doctor.
I just don't want to be fired and canceled for discussing
No, all
this.
I want to ask is I thought for sure The Good Doctor was a CBS show.
ABC,
was it never
I
on? No, it is on ABC. But was it never on CBS? Because I thought
the Good
for sure
Wife
you and I
was
have
on CBS.
No, I know The Good Wife because I'm a Good Wife fan. I'm Good Wife's number one fan. Give me a break. Wait, what? This comment from Matt May.
Hold on. We got a breaking comment in the chat. Years ago, Brett once plugged this pod on another pod he was on where the topic was abortions in Romania. That's when I started listening to Hey Julie. Brett is king of the pod for that alone.
Wow.
Well, I believe you.
I wish you would.
Okay.
I wish you would have told me about that.
At first, you don't want to be associated. I'm just promoting this pod, Danny. At first, I was like, I doubt we ever talked about Romanian abortions on this pod. But if I was plugging it on some other pod, I go on other pods on occasion. I'm the king of the pod. There's princes of the pod, princesses of the pod, dukes, jesters, an entire sort of court system out there, a feudal system, and people have me on their pods. And, is it a crime for me to be like, listen to Hey Julie? No.
No. Because
I make
the
rules.
It's not. But I will note that you don't even remember the name of this pod.
I have no idea. Someone in the Discord was like, hey, I saw this sketch that Brett was in when he worked at Cracked. Can I post it in here? And I was like, sure, what one? And she said, the one about meth. And I'm like, I have no idea what that one is.
They still haven't posted it, by the way.
No, I have no recollection what it is. Clip. And I'm not even going to Google it. I don't care. Like, I'm sure it happened. I'm sure I was in some sketch when I worked at Cracked. I was in multiple sketches when I worked there. I'm sure I was on some other pod. You know, whatever. We have
That's
questions.
Life,
we
I
have
mean,
questions.
We've lived. Yeah, we can get to the questions. I thought for sure we'd already talked about The Good Doctor, and that's because it was on CBS. But clearly, I was wrong in my memory.
The Good Doctor is a television show that has always been on ABC that I suppose I asked Danny, it stars a, I will say this, and I'm not trying to be offensive,
British
it stars
actor.
An abled British actor. About the main character is an autistic doctor, and the performance like very much plays up the not antisocial, but like how sometimes communication with the main character's like communication skills are different than the rest of the people, right? I hope I'm not using this terminology in an offensive way, right? But like I'm describing the conceit of the show correctly, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think he's also really young. He's a young doctor.
But he's like a brilliant doctor
right.
who's
the
memorized every
of the
fact.
Show.
Yeah.
Except in the clips, he is not brilliant. In the clips, he's always like, I can't do surgery. So it's hard to tell what the show really is.
But
one thing made clear from the show, though.
A bunch of these clips have gone viral this week because they're just ridiculous. And if anything, like somewhat, I don't know, I'm watching it and I'm like, I feel kind of icky watching this. I cannot believe this has been on network TV for 6 years. And this is kind of the way it treats like...
I
wouldn't even call him mentally disabled. He's just like on the spectrum. He's like a doctor who's like very much on the spectrum and communicates in a very different way than how average folks communicate. And he is blunt about things that he shouldn't be blunt about. He can't read social cues in certain ways. He's like an Asperger. He has Asperger's or something like that. I don't know. I haven't seen the show. But the clips are like very weird and sensational in a way that like network TV is, and you're like,
that's network
TV. I can't believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but because it's like Grey's Anatomy shit of like, the bomb is in my stomach, doctor, and then like the it's just weird. It's just strange.
But that's how I'm not shocked at all. I'm in the perfect position to willingly accept and acknowledge that this is how it is on network TV. You know why? Because I've been watching House recently. Yeah. House is all of those things without the excuse of being on the spectrum. He's just a joik. also, I just love, I've enjoyed the discourse. I don't feel bad. I'm enjoying the discourse.
The discourse. The whole thing is, like, even watching it, I like kind of feel bad watching these videos because I'm like, not for anybody in particular, but I'm just like, is this how ABC has like determined that they want to represent
right.
people like who are on the spectrum? Because I don't know if it's,
yeah, no, it's not.
I don't know if people, like, I'm sure that there's advocacy groups and stuff who are like,
right.
Maybe they're like, oh yeah, this is like a very safe and like progressive and thoughtful interpretation and dramatization of how someone like this might exist as a surgeon in a hospital. I don't know. I just felt, not knowing anything, that I was like, this kind of feels a little bit icky. And that's why these clips are going viral, because it feels, because they're so ridiculous.
They're clips. They're out of context. I think it's entirely possible that the show itself and that the actor are very thoughtful and do try to do as good a job as they can in depicting a very specific, let's remember, it's not like he's not every single person on the spectrum. He's a very specific character on the spectrum. And then on the other hand, these like any out of context clips about a ridiculous network TV show, they're very amusing.
I'm never going to watch this show.
No, I'm not going to watch the whole show.
But question, it's not on CBS. This is an ABC joint.
Okay.
Because there's like a bit of like there's a bit of like feel goodery to it. Like ABC wants you to cry and feel good. CBS is like, hey man, Matlock is here. She is going to solve some crimes. EO. Right?
Yeah.
CSI is here and they're going to solve some crimes.
Yeah. Don't worry about the crimes.
You're solving them. CBS NBC is like, we got the crimes and they are disgusting crimes. They are sick crimes. Mariska Hargitay, she can't handle the crimes. You stay up late, Dateline's going to tell you about these crimes. These crimes happen next door. Yeah. ABC is like, bring the tissues, baby. We're going to make you cry. We're going to make you feel good. Yeah, we're going to make you cry.
So
and
true.
That's the flavor that Good Doctor is in, I feel.
Absolutely.
Never seen
it. Even like, the show is filmed like someone is crying while they film it. It's very like foggy camera work.
Yeah,
all right. Well, that's it. I don't think we do have any other questions.
We had a three part question. Oh, Matt May. Matt May's in the chat. He's asking questions on Twitter. What the? you gotta start buying us cameos if you want to get this much content on the show.
Yeah, if you want the spicy Marco treatment, the package.
He's asked three questions. In three different categories, one BB, one random/bonkers, and one survivor. Let's power through these. Okay. BB, if BB25 had a returnees or a second chances, who would you least like to come back from Big Brother's past? Who do you think would legitimately make you want to skip the season?
Well, they wouldn't make me skip the season. I would just be like, ugh. It would be if they brought back someone really boring who did nothing, like Annalise.
That would be so funny if they're like, returner season. They're the VIPs. They're the MVPs or whatever. And then like, here she is. Fog. You see a silhouette from behind the door. It's sis. Annalise. She had a bunch of sex with the guy who looked like Aquaman.
It looked like Austin.
She was on the show, we promise. You remember her. I don't know. I would not like any of the sort of attention seekers. Frankie Grande.
Yeah. What's the second question?
Okay, second question. Sorry, do you have to go, Danielle? Bonkers/random question.
I will soon. You'll soon hear that I would.
When you're home alone, do you still close the bathroom door when utilizing the facilities? Why or why not? Home alone.
My answer is, yeah, when I'm home alone, no, I don't close the door.
No, why would you?
Why would I?
Me neither.
Yeah, what? Who am I hiding from?
I will say I will close the door, not fully, but I close the door in my current house because the door and the toilet are at a weird angle. And if the door were fully ajar, it would be a weird angle situation. But I don't close the door and lock it. I live by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't. If I'm alone.
Last question. Survivor question. Oh, well, I don't watch Survivor. Happy Mother's Day, Danielle.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for your questions, your comments, joining us in the chat. We love it. We'll be back next week.
Absolutely.
You can always join our Discord. We'll tweet the link and you can find our Twitter, HeyJulieBB, and you can email us, HeyJulieBigBrother@gmail.com.
We love it. Thank you so much for sticking with us on what has been a true adventure of a podcast through space, through time, through Zelda lore, Star Trek lore, whatever.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.